I think part of the change is not thinking in terms of being little or having, as you put it, little voices, but as the former Kiribati president spoke, it was about being large ocean states and having more relevance to international affairs than we commonly assume we have. So it's about reconceptualizing small island states and seeing their potential and their role in different, you know, in different terms.
So whilst they are being more vociferous and plainly the bigger countries are paying more attention now, how would you assess the impact overall? Climate change clearly is the key to all this. I mean, is that the driving force? Is it opened the door for the Pacific to have a say on other issues as a result?
Well, climate change obviously has been a catalyst for this new Pacific diplomacy, because part of what we argue is that the old approaches of working at the regional level and global level just weren't having the desired impact. So this is about organizing differently, working in, through different kinds of alliances or different kinds of partnerships, and seeing results in more, you know, it being more innovative, in other words. And I think that's been shown through climate change, but it's also been shown through fisheries. And a key element of this new Pacific diplomacy is moving outside the forum structures or the crop structures in the region. And the Patisvanaru Agreement is an example of that. And really being able to achieve far more in this new kind of arena than they would have otherwise done so.
Do you therefore see that the established groups within the region, like the Pacific Islands Forum and the Melanesian Spearhead Group and groups of that nature, that they may now start to change in nature or indeed, in some cases, may disappear altogether?
Well, the Pacific Islands Forum, I think, has responded to some extent to this these new shifts, and the way they've approached the framework for Pacific regionalism, I think, is partly a response to this, and the desire to be more inclusive and also targeted at the core issues that they can have an impact on, or leaders can have an impact on. It is having effect. But I think it's also that these existing organizations may not always be able to be effective. And it's not that they're not relevant, but that there are other avenues to pursue. And this new Pacific diplomacy, I think, is about looking at alternatives, you know, and where you might have greatest impact.
Would you therefore expect, now that the French territories have been admitted to the Pacific Islands Forum, that next on the list could be the American territories? I see reports today saying that American Samoa are interested in joining the forum. And if were that to happen, you then have Australia, New Zealand, obviously, on the inside, French influence, American influence. It becomes a very different organisation, doesn't it?
I think it does. And this is one of the concerns and why it was important to have some clear guidelines about the criteria and, as full members, what their capacities, you know, are in that organization. And yes, as you say, there are now perhaps precedents for other non-fully self-governing countries to gain membership. So we need to watch that one and see what happens, but it is, I think, going to change to some extent the way the Pacific Islands Forum operates and the kind of issues it can have make decisions on.
What about the question of China in all this? Because, of course, their relationship with the Pacific Islands nations has been raised on more than one occasion recently. They seem to be very close to Vanuatu. Certainly looks like they're going to get increasingly closer to Fiji in light of statements from the Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama in New York this week. I mean, should there be concern in the region about potential future Chinese influence?
Well, Chinese influence is already, as you know, here and is likely to increase. I think it's obviously going to be important for Pacific Island countries to be mindful of their interests not always being the same as China's interests, or perhaps being caught up in bigger agendas that are not directly, you know, of relevance to them in terms of power plays between the major powers, that is. But, I mean, China is certainly a key partner for Fiji, and it's likely to continue to be, but I think Fiji's approach has always been to work with a range of different partners, and powerful ones are very important to Fiji.
But the Prime Minister did say that they're looking at who their friends are now, and whilst they wanted to be friendly with everybody once upon a time, maybe that is changing. And of course, his criticism of Australia and New Zealand on all sorts of issues inside and outside the forum has been well documented.
Yes, he's also made the point, though, that our relationship with Australia and New Zealand outside of the perhaps the formal diplomatic arena is very important. So, you know, he doesn't want to jeopardize our trade, our tourism ties and people-to-people relationships and the fact that we are close, you know, historically close close neighbors and friends. So I think there'll be some in the future they'll be looking to try and perhaps, you know, avoid the kinds of issues that came up recently. But yeah, I think the Prime Minister was making quite clear that he doesn't want to see comment or criticism about Fiji from those quarters.
Overall, then, with the nature of the Pacific Islands' involvement in global diplomacy changing and changing quite significantly in recent times, do the people of the Pacific Islands stand to gain from all this in the end? Is it an advantageous move for them generally and not just on that key component of climate change?
I think it is because, you know, we can't just be complacent about the impact of global politics and our also our inability to have any impact on that. And in the past, perhaps, we didn't take an active role. But, you know, even when it is an issue like climate change, which is happening at the negotiation at the global level, we need to work, I guess, to connect what is being negotiated at the global level with what is happening at the regional and the local and the national levels. So it's also in terms of trade. I think it's bringing all these issues back to us and seeing some real impacts on the ground. And hopefully, you know, our diplomats, our foreign policy people are not just going to be engaging at that level, but seeing the translation of action at the global level, at the local and national levels.